Well, hello, everyone, and greetings in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. This is your voice of the gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, introducing you to another program which is devoted entirely to preaching the fact that Jesus Christ was crucified, that Jesus Christ is now crowned, and that Jesus Christ is soon coming again. And friends, since I began the voice of the gospel program way back on March the 4th of 1956, the only theme of my broadcast has been to uphold the person and vicarious work of Jesus Christ. Yes, I've been preaching the Bible, the blood, and the blessed hope for many, many years. And never once have I deviated from the purpose of preaching the pure and unadulterated gospel of the grace of God. You know, every once in a while someone writes in and asks me why I don't preach against communism or against the American Civil Liberties Union, or even the National and World Council of Churches. Well, friends, I'm quite aware of the diabolical inroads of communism, and I'm also convinced that the ACLU, as well as the World and National Council of Churches, are controlled by the devil. And, friend, I'm also aware of the power of liberalism and humanism. But my commission from the Word of God is to preach Christ and Him crucified. No, I don't have either the time or the commission to preach against modern-day evils which abound on every hand. And furthermore, I could preach against these things for 100 years, and not one soul would be convicted of sin and saved by the grace of God. So, friends, here I am today, in the fear of God alone, seeking to point sinners to their only hope for salvation, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow in Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy Son. We thank Thee for His condescending grace. We thank Thee for His perfect walk while here below. We thank Thee most of all for Calvary, for it was there that they crucified Him, the just one dying for we the unjust, so that He might bring us back to Thee. And our God, we thank Thee too for having extended the day of grace, so that we might have this blessed privilege and opportunity to tell forth the wonders of Thy love. Father, we pray Thy blessing upon Thy word about to be read and spoken from today. Save souls, for we ask it in the name of Thy Son, He whom Thou delightest to honor, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, before getting into the message today, let's listen to a lovely tune in keeping with the theme of the message I have in mind, and that is, Jesus Paid It All. If you have your Bible or New Testament handy and care to follow me in the Scriptures, please turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, and I'll begin reading at verse 1. Hebrews 1 and verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had, by himself, purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Now, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the word of God, speaks to us very simply and very plainly. He has conveyed the thoughts of his heart in such simple expressions that I believe that even a child can realize the fact that Jesus loves him. And I'm sure that most of us listening in today as children have sung the words, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Well, friends, today, with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I should like to discuss with you two words, yes, two words in the verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 1. We've just read together Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. But the two words that I'm concerned with are found in the third verse of Hebrews chapter 1. These words, my friend, were inspired by the Holy Spirit, and they are very simple and very concise. They leave absolutely no room for argument as to their meaning. And even as a child, I believe that anyone could understand them. Let me read the last portion of that verse again. This is Hebrews 1 and verse 3. When he, meaning Jesus Christ, had, by himself, purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now this verse in Hebrews tells us that when the Lord Jesus Christ completed the work of redemption, and following his resurrection, he sat down at the right hand of his Father God. But you'll notice, friends, that he only sat down after his work was completed. Now, what was the work that he had come to do? Well, in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, he himself says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Therefore, when he cried out on the cross, in the words of John 19 and verse 30, it is finished. He was telling the world that he had finished the work which God had given him to do. He had taken upon himself the sins of all mankind and was bearing the penalty for sin, the righteous judgment of a holy God. Now, friends, there are two words in this verse which, to me at least, stand out above all the others. And today I'd like to comment on them very briefly. The two words to which I refer are these. By himself. By himself. Yes, the work of purging our sins was definitely a one-man endeavor. And to you who are still unsaved, if your soul is ever going to be saved, it will be as a result of your faith in what Jesus Christ alone has done. The trouble with people today is that they're trying to assist in the salvation of their soul. They try to live a good, clean, moral life. They join a church, they read the Bible, they pray and they fast, and even give graciously of their finances to any worthy cause. But friends, this will never save your soul. In Titus 3 and verse 5, God says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Again, in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we're told, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you see then that man cannot work his way into the kingdom of God. But God has given to his Son, Jesus Christ, the entire task of blotting out our sins and making us fit subjects for the kingdom of God. Now, I believe there are several reasons why Jesus Christ purged our sins by himself. And as we discuss these reasons, I trust that each and every one of us will apply these great truths to our own souls. The first reason why Jesus Christ by himself purged our sins was because no one else cares enough to do so. Now, you may have had friends and relatives that love you very much, but would any of them be willing to die for your wicked deeds, your sins, and your trespasses? No, of course not. And yet we read in Romans 5 and 8 that God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, the Son of God saw our great need. He saw us heading to an eternity of torment, and his great heart of love was overflowing in compassion for a lost and dying world. He knew that no human remedy could have supplied that need either. So he graciously, by himself, condescended to bear our sins in his own body on the tree. And why did Christ die on the cross of Calvary? Well, in Isaiah 59 and 2, we read that our sins and iniquities had separated us from God. Yes, and from the Garden of Eden on down to the present day, sin has kept man from fellowship with a holy and righteous Creator. But thank God we read in 1 Peter 3 and verse 18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." Yes, my friend, the answer to why Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary is L-O-V-E, love. In John 3:16, the Lord Jesus Christ himself says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I wonder if there's someone listening in today, and the life you're living has led you to believe that no one loves you. Perhaps you're all alone, and perhaps you're suffering on a bed of pain, and it seems as though you have no friends. Well, listen, my friend, don't despair. No, don't despair. During those hours of darkness on Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus Christ was all alone too. He was by himself, and he too was suffering pain for our sins by himself. Yes, and his friends, just like you perhaps, they all forsook him and fled. And at the height of his anguish, his voice is heard to pierce the drapery of darkness. "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Ah, my friend, listen. He knew what it meant to be all alone. He knew what pain meant, and he knew what it meant to be forsaken. He who had so often communed with his Father God had now seen that fellowship broken because of sin, your sin and my sin. Yes, it was infinite love that caused Jesus Christ to die the shameful, cursed, and agonizing death of Calvary's cross. And remember, friend, he purged our sins by himself. Now, the second reason why Jesus Christ purged our sins by himself was simply because no one else has either the right or the power to do so. In Romans 3 and 23, we read that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, friends, that verse alone stamps us all as sinners, and the charge has been placed against us because there is none righteous, no, not one. And we in ourselves cannot erase our sinful record from the sight of a holy God. Therefore, God has appointed his Son, Jesus Christ, to blot out the sins of mankind. And furthermore, Jesus Christ does it with the full knowledge and approval of his Father God. In Colossians 2 and verse 14, we read that he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Yes, only Jesus Christ could do this, because he was the only one who could, by himself, remove the indictment against us as lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinners. And still further proof of his uniqueness as the only forgiver of sins is found in 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 and 6, where we read, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Now, the third reason why God's Son purged our sins by himself was because he was the only one who was sinless, and only a sinless sacrifice can put away sins. He was absolutely and completely separate from sin. He was holy, spotless, and undefiled. He was the only one who could say of a truth, "Which of you convinceth me of sin? And the prince of this world," meaning the devil, "hath no part in me." And yet we read over in Hebrews 9 and 14 that Jesus Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God. Why? That he might purge us from sin and dead works to serve the living God. In the 26th verse of this same chapter, God says, "But now hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Himself. And finally, in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, we read that even though he knew no sin, God hath made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, sinner friend, he's the one to whom I would point you today. The sinless Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And if you'll just come by faith as a lost and needy sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll plead your case before the throne of God. Yes, he's the only mediator and the only advocate who has the right to plead for a sinner. And all because he, by himself, bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Now, friend, way back in Exodus chapter 12, We read of the first Passover and how the people could escape the angel of death by taking a lamb without spot or blemish, and then they were to kill it and sprinkle the blood over the side posts and lintel of the door. Those who obeyed God's word were assured with these words, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Now, friends, you'll notice that the lamb had to be without spot or blemish. And of whom is this a type? Why, the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. Even on the day that he was crucified, Pilate had to admit that he could find no fault in this man. And people for 2,000 years have been trying to find fault with Jesus Christ, but friend, just like Pilate, they are unable to do so, because he was the perfect one, God manifest in the flesh. Now the fourth reason why Jesus Christ by himself can purge our sins is because no one else can perform the miracle of regeneration. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into the heart of an individual sinner, he not only purges the sin, but he also gives a new life, a new nature, a new walk, a new talk, a new song, and a new home. The drunkard praises his newfound Savior. The cruel become kind. The selfish become liberal. The wicked become righteous. And the proud become humble. And all this can only be brought about by faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, all this change comes as a result of what Jesus Christ, by himself, has done at Calvary's cross. Now, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, God says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Let me ask you, friend, are you a new creature in Christ, or are you outside of Christ and still on the broad road that leads to hell? You know, I honestly believe that some of you listening in today are trying to save your own soul by reformation and so-called good works or religious ritual. You're trying to bring about the miracle of regeneration by yourself instead of by himself. And friend, it just can't be done. The Son of God is the only one who can save that never-dying soul of yours. For we read in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 that neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And friend, Jesus Christ himself told the most religious man of his day, Nicodemus, over there in John chapter 3 and verse 3, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So you see then that regeneration by the Holy Spirit and Word of God is something beyond the realm of your and our finite control. However, once a sinner places his trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, that sinner immediately is born again by the Holy Spirit and Word of God. And he or she is born immediately, this time, spiritually speaking, into the family of God. So friend, why not acknowledge that you're the sinner for whom Christ has died? And if you appropriate by faith alone his precious blood to your sin-sick soul, you will at once become the recipient of life eternal. And all because Jesus Christ by himself bore your sins on Calvary's cross. Now the fifth reason why the work of redemption was completed by Jesus Christ himself was because no one else could defeat the devil. My friend, never underestimate the power of the devil, because he is indeed a most formidable foe. He was strong enough to delude our first parents way back there in the Garden of Eden, and it seems as though he has become stronger as the years go by. His purpose, my friend, is to keep the sinner in darkness, cause him to lose his soul, and eventually he'll have that soul in the flames of hell. Now, as long as a sinner remains unsaved, he is subject to the God of this world, his father, the devil. That's what he's called, the devil. Yes, God's word makes it quite clear that those who've never been born again are children of wrath, children of disobedience, children of darkness, and children of the devil. And Satan is able to guard his property from all human schemes and plans for their deliverance too. He has them bound with the chains of sin. He has them suffocating in the vacuum of lust and passion. He has them drunk with pride, pomp, pleasure, and popularity. He has them drugged with a social gospel of soup, soap, and sunshine. He has them wrapped up in astrology, philosophy, education, and theosophy. And friend, if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he has you doing his will every moment you remain outside of Christ. But friend, I want you to know that there's hope for you today. Yes, the Son of God is able to break those chains of sin by Himself. He is able to quench your lust and passion by Himself. He is able to sober you up from your service to pride, pomp, pleasure, and popularity by Himself. He is able to bring you out of darkness into His marvelous light by Himself. And all you have to do is to believe that He, by Himself, can do it. Won't you let Him do it, my friend? Won't you let Him do it right now? Now, friend, you'll have to admit that the world today is in a terrible and chaotic condition. You'll have to agree that man has made a mess out of things since his very creation. So why not give Jesus Christ a chance to prove that He and He alone, by Himself, is the answer to every problem in the world today. Yes, He's the only one who can solve the basic social, political, economic, and religious problems of our day. But better still, Jesus Christ is the only one who can release you from the power of the devil. Over 1900 years ago on Calvary's cross, the Son of God by Himself was victor over sin, death, and Satan. So friend, why not share in that victory by accepting Jesus Christ, God's Son, as your own and personal Savior right now? Now, still another reason why Jesus Christ alone can purge your sins is because no one else can do such a permanent work. Friend, if you accept Christ as your Savior today, every sin you ever committed, as well as those in the future, will be washed away in the blood of God's Son. Now, this is not to be construed as a license to sin. Did you hear me, friend? Salvation is not a license to sin. For if a person is really saved, then the desire to sin and the practice of sin cannot be in evidence. But friend, the point I want to make is this. If a sinner is to be made fit for the presence of God, every single sin must be blotted out from the moment of his birth to the moment of his death. And friend, Jesus Christ, by Himself and without your help, is able to purge your sins to the full and complete satisfaction of a holy God. And furthermore, this purging of the soul from sin must be always effectual, and the presence of the one who does the purging must be assured at all times. We who are saved know that we have a great high priest who, by himself, pleads our failures before the throne of God. Yes, thank God he is always near and always ready to comfort we who are so spiritually weak. Now, further proof of the permanency of Calvary can, I believe, be found in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, where we read concerning him, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." And if we were to turn over to John chapter 10, verses 27, 28, and 29, here we would read what Jesus Christ himself has to say concerning those who place their trust in him. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." And then he goes on to say, "My Father and I are one." Now friends, that's the Word of God. So why not take him at his word and accept his Son, Jesus Christ, as your own and personal Savior right now? No, and don't put it off, my friend. The day of God's grace is fast drawing to a close. Yes, this may be the last time you'll ever hear the gospel. You may never again have the opportunity to either accept or reject God's offer of mercy through Jesus Christ, his Son. In Proverbs 29 and verse 1, God gives this most solemn warning. "He that being often reproved or warned, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Again, in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, we read, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." One more thought I'd like to leave with you before I close, and that is this. All indications point to the imminent return of God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, if the Lord should come today, and you're not saved, as far as you're concerned, the day of God's grace will have ceased to exist, and you'll be doomed and damned to an eternity in hell and the lake of fire. But how about those of us who are saved? Well, thank God, if the Lord came today, we'd be caught up to meet our Savior in the sky. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 16, we read, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And friend, what a comfort it is to know that Jesus Christ by himself is coming soon to take us home to heaven. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now friend, this brings us to the close of another gospel message. So let me ask you sincerely, and with eternity staring us in the face, are you saved? Are you a born-again child of God? Do you have a time when, place where, and manner how you were born into God's family as a child of his? Do you know Christ is your Savior, God is your Father, and heaven is your home? If not, my friend, then I plead with you, in love for your soul and in view of eternity, to acknowledge your sinful condition in God's sight and accept the fact that Jesus Christ by himself bore your sins in his own body on the cross. Friend, just believe with all your heart and the Lord Jesus Christ is your own and personal Savior, and if you do, you'll be saved for time and for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Father in God, we again draw nigh to thy throne of grace to ask thy blessing upon the word just gone forth. Save souls to his honor and glory alone. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. And now until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.